Good Sunday morning and welcome to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vetter, and my guests this morning are a couple. We have Bill and Deborah Bouget, and Bill, you are the owner of Power Sports, right?
Yes, Full Throttle.
Full Throttle Power Sports. And we're going to be talking a little bit about motorcycles today, but we're going to morph that into a story that you wrote in an article in a magazine called The Motorcycle Classics, and we're going to be talking about that article and how Debbie fits into that whole picture. All right, so Bill, Full Throttle's Power Sports. When did you start it? Why'd you start it?
Opened Full Throttle Power Sports in about 2015. Ever since I had gotten out of high school, I've always been fascinated with motorcycles, and I went right to work working for the local motorcycle stores in nearby areas like Dover, Easton, Elkton, Newcastle, etc., all over the Eastern Shore here. And always been fascinated with motorcycles, riding them, building them, racing them, you name it. Then it got to a period in my life, a little elder, and decided to open my own shop. The opportunity arose, and I get to continue what I love to do, and occasionally embark on a project of my own.
Okay, so you're local, born and raised?
Originally born in Homestown, Pennsylvania, and then family migrated here in about 73.
Okay, so you've been here a while.
Yes.
All right, so you've always had just essentially a repair shop, so an independent repair shop? You never thought about doing a dealership or anything like that?
No, I always felt like there were too many restrictions by the franchise dealerships. I like to be able to pick and choose the jobs I like to do, and I have more of a race background. I like to do a lot of high-performance work as well, too. So.
Yeah, you did mention when we spoke the other day that you did race for a while.
True.
I guess that must have been a pretty hairy lifestyle for a bit.
It did, and I guess I didn't see how serious it was at the time because, you know, you go into it with the attitude that you want to win, and you kind of toss the fear of it aside. It wasn't until years after I retired that I kind of realized, boy, that kind of was a hairy.
that was a big risk, yeah. I'm sure you took more than your fair share of tumbles.
I took a few, yes, I did.
Yeah. All right, so the shop's been here for a while, but you're a little bit more than just a repair shop. You're also a fabricator. And why don't you explain the difference to the audience between a fabricator and a repair shop?
Good question, Larry. A repair shop basically has to perform routine maintenance and repairs on motorcycles based on what the factory designates as far as specifications, which is fine, and it keeps those customers very safe and liability free. When you get into fabricating, it's like a painter. He has a bare canvas, and he can create and modify and alter and build what he wants for himself or his customers.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting because you're more of an artist when it comes to the fabrication. And for many people, myself included, probably the introduction to motorcycle fabrication came from watching TV and Orange County Choppers, which basically that's what they did. They took a frame, they took a motor, and then they went wild after that. You know, and you were able to do the same type of work in there, which I found really fascinating. I was always amazed at the way they come up with great ideas, and they were able to put these together, which now leads us to the primary reason why you guys are here this morning. And you had an article that came out recently in the Motorcycle Classics, and it's about a bike that you fabricated. But there's a reason why you fabricated that bike. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the story?
Okay. Well, I was building a bike before that, which was a replica of a Vincent Black Shadow, which is a legendary motorcycle and very collectible, and it was just a cool thing that happened. while researching the build on that, I came across a picture online of a older gentleman sitting on a motorcycle that appeared to be an Indian chief. But as I looked closer, the engine that was in it was not an Indian chief engine, but rather one from the Vincent brand. And of course, that piqued my interest, and I clicked on the article and read it, and it told a fascinating story of a prototype bike that was built in 1949, and it was going to be a joint venture between the Indian Motorcycle Company and the Vincent Motorcycle Company. And what they did was they installed a Vincent engine in the Indian frame to improve its overall performance. And after testing, testing went very well, and everything was looking great, except the British pound sterling was losing value, and the executives or the bean counters got involved and said, wait a minute, this isn't looking too good. Maybe we should leave well enough alone. And they canceled the project. They actually took the prototype bike apart, sent it back to America, and the story hadn't been heard from until, like, 2013.
Wow.
So it was one of those stories that I read, and it just kind of sat in my mind there. I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And an interesting thing happened. My wonderful wife, Deborah, who was my faithful passenger since before we got married, we dated on motorcycles and whatnot. She really embraced the motorcycle concept with me, and she just rode everywhere with me. Sadly, a few years ago, she was diagnosed with a rare form of Parkinson's disease, and it became apparent that she was having difficulty riding, actually stopped riding. It inhibits her motor skills. It makes her a little weak. It makes her a little unsteady, and she didn't feel safe riding on the back of my two-wheeler. But she said something to me one day that she really wanted to ride again. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not able to fix her Parkinson's disease, though I wish I could. But trying to be a good husband and wanting to do what I could for her, I thought, you know, I always wanted to be the motorcycle guy. And here's this request from my wife. She wants to ride again. I was going to do whatever I could so she could ride again and at least fulfill that request of hers. So this, I got the idea to safely put her in a sidecar. That would make it, you know, very safe for her to ride, and she would certainly get the full feeling of riding again. And I just thought, well, I want this to be with the most beautiful bike that she had ever seen. And I remembered that article about that prototype bike I'd seen, and I thought that would be the perfect candidate for the base motorcycle for the sidecar of this project. So I kind of searched my memory banks on how I could go about doing that, creating it. It would be difficult and expensive for me to use original parts like the original Indian frame and to get my hands on an 1949 Vincent engine would be very costly and hard to find, and I didn't know how much time I had, so I thought it'd be easier to use components that are more readily available and a little cheaper to afford. So I went online and I used my memory banks on possible frame engine combinations and took a chance and ordered a frame and engine and got the engine to fit and figured the rest would fall in line as I went along. And the actual project turned out a lot better than I had originally anticipated.
All right, so before we go into the details of the project, I'd like to get Debbie involved a little bit in the conversation, because I'd like to get your take on, first of all, you dated and met after he was already motorcycle riding. Was that something that you always wanted to do when you were younger, or did you
I love motorcycles.
Say, oops?
No, I love motorcycles, absolutely.
Okay. Now, did you ride your own?
I went and passed the test, and I was just getting ready to do that when I ended up with Parkinson's. It just came out of nowhere. I was also Chestertown's Mrs. Clean. I had a cleaning business for 40 years, and it just so happened on the way back from one of my jobs from Great Oaks, my youngest daughter was with me in the car, and she says, Mom, do you notice your right hand is shaking? I said, I'll be darned. No, I didn't notice. I said, I wonder what that's about. Within a week, not only did my hands start shaking, but I started losing my balance. I couldn't hold myself up. I couldn't get a shower. So it just happened so fast. So I finally got in touch with one of the doctors here, a neurology doctor called Dr. Martello in Middletown, Delaware. And he did some tests on me, and he said, there's five different types of Parkinson's. I didn't know that. I thought it was just one type of Parkinson's, Michael J. Fox, you know, that has. Yeah. And he said, no, Debbie, you have Parkinson's multiple system atrophy. And I said, what is that? Mm. And what's going to happen? He says, well, you usually have 5 to 7 years to live.
Oh.
We can make you comfortable. And that's about it. I was devastated when I heard the news about that. And I told Bill, I said, my gosh, my life's going to be over in a few years. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I was totally healthy. Didn't even get a cold.
And then overnight.
And then overnight, and within a week, I lost everything. I couldn't stand up. I was in a wheelchair. I now totally depend on everyone else to help me. But one thing that does help, and I forget all about the Parkinson's, is the sidecar that Bill built. He's the most wonderful person I've ever met. And one day, when I told him in passing that I wish I could just ride just one more time, that put it in his head. And I didn't know behind the scenes, when he was working late and working on weekends, he was building this motorcycle for me.
Oh, so you weren't aware?
I was not aware. He was not only building it, but he would build it with a sidecar that I could get in and ride again. So in August, a couple years ago,
You were probably getting mad at him for hanging out late.
Yes, I was like,
what's this guy doing every night? I'm hanging around here waiting for him to come home, and he's not here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, what is he doing? I mean, he's a workaholic, but I like to have dinner with him once in a while. But I did not know that he was building this behind the scenes. He kept it quiet. So one day, my family were down from Florida, and he called me at the house, and he said, Debbie, could you get your family to come to the shop? I need this tool in the basement. And I'm thinking, tool in the basement? He's got so many tools at his jobs. Why would he need another tool? That was just to get me to the shop.
Okay. All right. I want to continue this thought after the break, but first we have to take a quick break.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
Chester River Pharmacy is your hometown pharmacy. When you walk through the door, you're greeted by a team of professionals who will offer sound medical advice for all your health concerns. They offer professional-grade multivitamins, nutritional supplements, and prescriptions, and medical supplies. Plus, all insurances are accepted. Chester River Pharmacy, where your health comes first. Visit us online at ChesterRiverPharmacy.com or call us at 410-810-3600.
At Heron Point of Chestertown, living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to any caregiver adds the support you need to maintain the highest quality of life.
My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guests today are Bill and Debbie Bouget. Bill is the owner of Power Sports, and we are talking a little bit about the article that you wrote and the about the bike that you built and why you built it. And before the break, we were talking to you, Debbie, and you were talking a little bit about the reasons why Bill built the bike and how you were surprised about it. And I do want to talk about, I know that your family was invited, and I know that there was some pictures taken at the time, a video taken. But I want to talk first, before we get to that, about the feeling you get when you ride. I know for the most part you rode behind Bill, that you didn't ride separately, but I know that as a passenger, you get that same feeling of that you do when you're riding, as the passenger sees the same thing. And I'd like you to talk about it, because I know what it is, because I rode for many, many years, but maybe people who haven't ridden don't quite understand it. So explain a little bit of what you feel when you ride.
When I was riding with Bill, we would go all over, like Cape May, Wildwood, Atlantic City. Absolutely loved it. The feeling of being on a motorcycle gives you, like, freedom. Everything in your body, it just goes away. Anything you're worried about, you forget. And it's just a feeling that it's hard to describe unless you've actually ridden on the back or on the motorcycle yourself. But it's the most peaceful feeling you get when you're on the motorcycle.
I always thought of it as you're absolutely living in the moment. It didn't matter what you did yesterday or even a half hour ago, and it doesn't matter what you're going to be doing later on in the day. You're completely in the moment. You're surrounded by nature. You're open, you're exposed, but not in a way that I felt frightened. You're exposed in a way that you just feel like you're a part of nature.
Oh, absolutely.
And I always thought, and I don't know if you felt the same way, but my senses were always enhanced, all of them. I love to describe, the first thing I noticed was that you'd smell everything.
Oh, yes.
And you'd ride down the road, and if I passed a garden, I smelled the flowers in the garden. If somebody was baking, I smelled the aroma of the pie coming out the window. And if there was a garbage can on the side of the road, I smelled that too. But the thing was that it just seemed like you smelled all those things. And I always thought it was odd, because you could drive by in a convertible and not smell those things.
That's right.
And yet, you were pretty exposed too in a convertible. So, but you wouldn't smell those things. But it was more than just the smell. I always felt like you could see a little clearer.
Yes.
You could hear a little bit better. And even sense the direction of the wind. Even though you're riding 55 miles an hour and you're creating your own wind, but you could feel the change of the direction of the wind. And I always said that I could actually feel the barometric pressure change. And people thought I was nuts when I would say that. But you could actually feel that, oh, I feel like a storm is coming, because it just feels like the pressure just dropped a little.
You're part of nature.
You're absolutely part of nature, yeah. So I understand missing that feeling. Actually, I haven't been riding much lately. I miss it myself right now. And I get that. You know, so I could understand that when all of a sudden you realized you couldn't ride anymore, that would be a part of life that you would miss a lot.
Yes, absolutely. I was very sad when I found out I had Parkinson's, especially the type that I have. It's very aggressive, and I love to ride on motorcycles, but when I found that I could no longer balance on a motorcycle, I was devastated. That freedom of having that wind in your face and just everything around you, it's like you're part of nature.
Yeah.
And in passing, you know, I told Bill I wish I could ride just one more time. So he surprised me with a motorcycle with a sidecar, and we're riding around town like we're Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, waving to everyone.
I kind of thought you guys were.
Yes. But just to be in the sidecar, and it's amazing because I stopped shaking. The minute within 10 minutes of being in the motorcycle or the sidecar, all of a sudden the Parkinson's just leaves for just that moment. I don't shake. I'm not worried about anything. I'm still, and I feel that freedom all over again.
Yeah, no, that is wonderful. Now, I know that you had a little bit of a surprise when Bill first presented the bike to you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Why don't you tell us that?
Well, he called me up and talked to me about getting this part in the basement. He said, Deb, I need a tool. And I said, you need a tool? What do you need a tool for? I sent my sister down to get it, because I can't go down the steps. And I said, why do you need a tool? He goes, I just need it. I don't have it here. I thought, that's odd. He's got about 10,000 parts over there and 20,000 tools, but okay. So my family were down from Florida, and they drove me over. And we went in, and we had some little lunch there and stuff like that. And then Bill wanted me to go outside. He said, let's go outside. I want to show you something. And he came around that corner. With that motorcycle, with a sidecar, that he took him 11 months to build, and he did it for me. Yeah, he did it for me. He did it so that I have a chance again to ride. And it has made so much, it's made my life so much better, because when I'm in the sidecar, I forget about the Parkinson's, and the Parkinson's forgets about me.
Yeah, that's probably the more important part, that it leaves you alone for a little while, which is wonderful. And then I know that there's a video of when you were presented the bike, and I got to see it.
Yes.
I heard about it. It was called Deborah Rides Again.
Yes, I get to ride again.
Yeah, so people can look at that easy enough. It's on YouTube, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's an interesting video, and it's about the day that you were surprised with your bike.
Oh, yes.
And I was very fortunate. I got to see the bike, and
it's beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful. I was in love with it immediately. I love the big bikes, and I love the old bikes too. I love the looks of them.
Yeah, you know, me too.
I frankly think it's a great idea to put a new motor in it, because as much as I like to say that they don't build them like they used to, the thing is that it's probably a good thing that they don't build them like they used to.
This man Bill is a genius. He can fix anything, and the things, the motorcycles that he builds, it's just fabulous. I love them. He has good talent there.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful bike. It looks like, if you do a quick glance at it, it looks like a very traditional Indian. It's got the famous fenders with that the Indian had, and it looks old. It just has that bulky old feeling about it when you take a look at it. But then I know that you put a Yamaha engine in there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what made you choose that?
I chose the Yamaha engine because it is an all-aluminum overhead valve V-twin that has chrome and polished engine cases, which replicated the Vincent Rapide engine that they used in the original prototype. But I knew it was a modern engine, great history of reliability. It would be a great source of torque for pulling the sidecar, and it would be reliable. When I originally built this, it was not intended to be a show vehicle or anything really spectacular. I just wanted to take my wife for a ride again. And I thought, you know, if she rides once or twice, that'll be great, if it brings her any pleasure at all. And I was really surprised how well she took to that. And, the first weekend I brought it home, we did like 300 miles. And I thought,
I didn't want to get out.
Yeah, she didn't want to get out and wanted to go again the next day and the next day. And I thought, well, this is great. And this went on for a few weeks. And after about 600 or 700 miles, she said, Bill, I don't hurt when I'm riding in the sidecar. My legs don't hurt. I feel so much better. And then I began to pay attention when we would ride, and I noticed, like she's described, after about 5 or 10 miles in the sidecar, that right tremor in her arm would stop. And I thought, this is amazing. This is more than I had anticipated. This is fabulous. So as long as she wants to ride, whenever she wants to ride, we're going to ride that thing until the wheels fall off.
And hopefully they won't fall off for quite some time.
Hopefully not. Yeah. She has done 4,700 miles since that thing was built, so she's on the right track, I think.
I remember this morning I was saying, I want to go at the end of the week. It's going to be 60. Yay!
Yay.
Let's go.
We'll go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, even today already, it's not too bad to ride.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, so you definitely want to be able to do that as much as you can. And we're getting into the time of year right now where you get more of an opportunity to. The weather's
nice.
A little bit more conducive. Now, do you like riding on your own most of the time, or do you like riding with a group?
I've always kind of been that lone wolf kind of rider that just rode on my own. I could set my own pace, my own stops. I have no objection to riding with groups. Deborah and I did a lot of riding with groups. We did a lot of riding for charity, which was neat.
Ride for kids,
Toys for Tots rides. We rode all over the place, and we enjoy that just as much. But riding solo, when I get the itch to go a little fast, sometimes I can do that, go where I want. But it's all good. As long as I'm riding, I'm happy riding.
Yeah, I was mostly with groups. Most of my riding was in my formative days when I was in New York, Long Island. So riding solo in New York City or Long Island was a little bit risky. It was a lot safer in numbers, although not necessarily always safer, because that was the land of road rage. And very often you'd ride in a group of 35 bikes. We were very law-abiding as a group. We paid attention to all the rules and regulations. We wore all the proper equipment, and we were very careful about what we did. Mm-hmm. However, people would still be angry because 35 bikes in a row is a pretty long ride, and very often cars would challenge you, try to come into the middle of it, you know, try to scare you, try to make you, I don't know what they were trying to do, almost trying to kill you.
Yeah.
It seemed that way. And so we just had rules and regulations that if a car wanted to get in the middle of the group, let them.
Yeah.
There's no point in challenging a car because you're going to lose.
Right.
You know, so we're always cautious about that sort of thing. But I got very used to riding with a group, and I enjoyed it, and it was always a lot of fun. In fact, the interesting part was we always did our rides, and it didn't matter what time of year it was, we'd ride all year long, and we'd always end at a restaurant. And after a while, I started to tease. I said, we're not a riding group. We're an eating group that happens to have own motorcycles.
Right.
Because that's what we always ended up doing.
Great destination.
It was always a great destination. And it was always a lot of fun. The initial reaction to people, when you pull into the restaurant parking lot with 30 bikes, they'd look out in horror, thinking that you're coming in to raid the place or destroy it. But we're just average, everyday people, just enjoying the outdoor and enjoying the ride and wanted to have something to eat, and that was it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short break again. But first, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, and Prince Limousine. Mm-hmm. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
Chester River Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, offers professional-grade multivitamins, nutritional supplements, medical supplies for all your medical needs, sound medical advice from people you trust, and all insurances are accepted. In addition, the expanded store carries a wide variety of gift items, including toys and gifts from the Eastern Shore. The staff is ready to help with your needs because at Chester River Pharmacy, you're treated like family. Chester River Pharmacy, where your health comes first. Visit them online at chesterriverpharmacy.com or call 410-810-3600.
Raceland Clean is the area's premier service for all your transportation needs. Speaking 94, they provide a prompt and professional service for all your livelihoods. Provide transportation for weddings, bachelor and bachelorette parties, birthdays, company events, event shuttle service, and airport and transfer transportation. You just plan your event, driving your friends, limousine, cooking, and operating. Call them at 410-778-4860 or visit RoadsMOMD.com.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to in-home care adds the support you need to maintain the highest quality of life.
Chestertown, living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org.
Partly sunny for today with a high temperature around 60 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, 45. Mix of sunny clouds tomorrow, 60-65. Partly sunny on Tuesday, mid-60s. Back to rain for Wednesday. From the Maryland Weather Center, this is meteorologist Bill Jackman.
Welcome back to my My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder, and my guests this morning are Bill and Deborah Bouget. And we've been talking motorcycles, a lot of motorcycles. But we also talked about the article that you wrote that ended up in the Motorcycle Classics magazine. And I wanted to talk now about the people who read the article and were somewhat involved in what's going on. So why don't you explain a little bit about that?
Okay, I'll do my best. Bear in mind this article had just come out in the January-February edition, so it is really kind of hot off the presses. Fortuitous thing happened. My wonderful wife's sister, Lizanne, who has a nurse practitionership down in Orlando, Florida, we sent copies of the magazine to her because she came up from Florida to see the reveal of the motorcycle, and she was involved, so we wanted her to have a copy of the article. So we sent that down there, and it turns out she has several clients that are somewhat celebrities, one of whom I believe is John Stamos. And she showed the article to John Stamos, who copied it or somehow resent it to the likes of Michael J. Fox and Jay Leno in hopes that maybe some notoriety or some interest can come about. If this helps Deborah with her Parkinson's, it may be able to in some way either help others with Parkinson's or maybe lead to the research of why her symptoms are reduced, and hopefully this can benefit everyone that came down with Parkinson's. It's a dreadful disease.
Yeah, now, clearly everybody's aware of Michael J. Fox's situation, that he has Parkinson's, and he's been battling it for a number of years already. Uh-huh. To some extent, he's been living with a tough disease, and he's been pretty successful still doing things. So I could imagine that anything that would help abate it somewhat would be of interest to him. So have you actually been in contact with him yet at all?
Not yet. Just kind of waiting. As I said, this article just came out, and I certainly don't want to seem like I'm being too forward and, you know, pushing the issue. But if something develops from this, let's hope it's can develop into a very positive thing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because right now you have sort of a gut feeling. You know, you know that when you're on the bike, you feel better. Uh-huh. And you know that your shaking does abate somewhat.
I think it has to do with the vibration. Because, Dr. Martello is my neurology doctor here in Delaware. And we mentioned this to him on our last visit. And he said, people in India that have Parkinson's get on the train for, you know, hours at a time. And when they're off the train, their shakiness... How do you say that?
Well, their symptoms are reduced.
Yeah, the symptoms are reduced, if not gone, you know, just for a little while. And it's the vibration. They're tapping into, they're trying to figure out what is the vibration to Parkinson's and how is it helping. But I know when I'm on the motorcycle, on the sidecar, and the vibration, for some reason, it does something to your body, and all of a sudden, I stop shaking.
Now, has your neurologist said that this is a common thing, that this happens, or is this something?
He said they're looking into it because, you know, they are getting more aware of the vibration, and so they're trying to do research on that to find out why that happens when you're on the motorcycle or on a train or something that vibrates for hours after that, you're not shaking.
It would sound to me almost like you'd be a perfect test case for something like this.
Yes.
Would you be willing to do that kind
Absolutely.
Of research?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is that you have a direct knowledge of it. You know
first
that.
Hand.
Yeah.
Dr. Martello is aware, and we spoke when I do pass away from this, which I hope is about 100 years from now. I'm donating my body to neurology department at University of Penn, so they can look into how by opening up my brain they can figure it out, you know, and there's got to be a cure for it at some point. And I hope it's when I'm, you know, for me now.
Yeah. So I'm curious, and if I'm getting too personal with a question like this,
no,
or I'm
okay.
asking the wrong question, just tell me.
Okay.
Because I don't know what the right thing to do. But is there a way that they can, say, do a scan, a brain scan of yours right now? And if they did that, can they actually see your disease?
Yes, that's how they determined that I did have Parkinson's.
Okay, so they did that.
Yes, twice. I had a doctor up at the University of Penn, and I stayed there, and they did all kind of tests on me and confirmed that it was Parkinson's. But I wanted a second opinion. So I went to Dr. Martello, and he did the same thing, a DAT scan on my brain, and confirmed as well that I do have Parkinson's.
So I wonder if it would ever make sense to take a brain scan prior to you riding.
That would be awesome,
and
yes.
And a brain scan after you've ridden for several hours.
That's a great idea.
To see if there's any sort of a physical change that you can see.
Yes.
I mean, obviously you feel a change.
Yes.
But I'm curious if you could actually see a difference
in the brain,
in the brain itself.
That's a great idea.
I would imagine that would be interesting to find out.
I think it would be a huge clue.
Yeah, it definitely would be, and it might be even an idea of how to try and correct it, or
exactly.
at least mitigate it. You know, to keep it down a little bit. All right, and now there's also, you mentioned also Jay Leno came a little bit to attention to this too.
Well, we heard from Deborah's sister that the article was sent to Jay Leno as well as Michael J. Fox. So the offer, I believe, was made to us that we could at some point visit Jay Leno's collection,
mm-hmm.
which would be a fascinating thing to have happen. And also my hopes are to just bring a bigger public awareness to this dreadful disease and let people aware that this thing is happening, and hopefully get more people involved on finding a cure.
Yeah, I think there's probably plenty of incentive to find a cure, and I
Absolutely.
Think it's a tough disease to beat. But any little bit of hope like you have with the motorcycle, it sounds to me like something that's worth looking at.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
At the very least. Now, one thing you do have to promise when you go visit Jay Leno's garage is that you don't allow him to hire you, because I know that he has a lot of mechanics on staff, and we want to keep you in Kent County. We don't want you out in L.A. or something like that.
All right. We'll make this Jay Leno East.
Okay. So I'd like to kind of go back a little bit to the building of the bike, because I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, the only experience I really had with seeing it a little bit is watching the TV show Orange County Choppers.
Yeah.
And I was always amazed how they would just buy a frame. And then they'd say, let's get this motor. And they just kind of like plop it in there, and then they'd say, let's get this, and let's get this, and let's get this. And it always seemed like an Erector set from years ago,
where
they would just start putting all of these parts together. And I'd look at it and say, well, how are they making all of these things mesh? Because I often think about it, if I wanted to build a car from scratch, would I buy a General Motors frame and then maybe a Ford engine and Chrysler transmission? You could do all those things, but they're not so easy to mesh together.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when I watched it, it seemed like these parts fit pretty good together all the time. Is it that they're that good and they know the parts that fit together and they only get those? Or is it that motorcycles are pretty universal?
A little of both, I would say. From my 50 years of experience with the motorcycles, I would say that most brands keep some of their design concepts similar. So some parts are adaptable easier than others. It was a great thing you mentioned there, Larry, about the General Motors, the cars, different frames and different engine combinations. I guess that's just the way I think. I've seen all the different brands, and I like certain engines better than other brand engines. I like certain frames better than other frames. And I just thought, why can't you put the frame and the engine and the wheel and the brake and the suspension choices all together? Sometimes that goes easier than other times. This particular case, it was, as if it was meant to be. I started with that frame and engine combination because I knew the suspension on that frame wouldn't inhibit the sight of those skirted fenders that you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
which is the iconic part of the Indian look. And the appearance of the old Yamaha Virago engine also lent itself very easily. The suspension components came together with very minimal excess work. Fabricating involves grinding, fitting, welding, making brackets, making spacers, all things that I've done the last 50 years, whether it was used in my racing careers or just building bikes for other people. So it just seemed natural. You know, I have to adapt this fender. Well, how can I do it? Make a bracket, drill it, grind it, weld it, done, move on. And before I knew it, everything had come together really pretty well.
So you had the bike built, and then did you have it painted right away then?
Yes, and this is a good subject to talk about. I'm very fortunate at my shop. I have customers of all walks of life and different professions. And one of my good customers, and he's a local guy here, his name is Jay White. And Jay works in the automotive repair industry, and he has an extensive background also in body and paint work. And when I was doing the Vincent Black Shadow replica, he had come in because Jay restores old antique dirt bikes, and he does a fabulous job. And he uses my shop to rebuild engines, to lace and rebuild wheels, and to rebuild suspensions. Then Jay does the paint and assembly, and we work together on this. And I was doing the gas tank on this particular bike, and Jay came in with a project, and he said, you know, I could probably help you out with that if you don't mind. I'd like to be a part of that. And I thought, boy, that would be fantastic. I could concentrate more on the mechanical, electromechanical end of this while he did the paint and bodywork, which he has a more intense background. So I let him take the tank, and Jay and I have similar expectations in quality, so I didn't have to specify too much to him. He knew what I expected, and he brought the tank back, and it was just gorgeous. And when this other project came up, we pursued that as well.
Okay, I'm going to continue the conversation after the break, but first we have to take a quick second break. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
March 29th is Vietnam War Veterans Day. A decade ago, Congress authorized the creation of the United States of America, Vietnam War. To thank and honor Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifice, veterans to be recognized among those who served in uniform in the U.S. military anywhere in the world from 1955 to 1975. These ceremonies involve veterans being given a fair day for their service and sacrifice and presented with a special award that also includes family members of veterans from the military.
Chesterriverpharmacy.com or call us at 410-810-3600. Regional Hospice. We understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to in-home care adds support needed to maintain the
back to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guests this morning are Bill and Deborah Bouget, and we were talking just before the break about the fabrication of the bike that you built, and then you built the bike first, and then you had your friend who was doing the painting on it, and then didn't you build the sidecar separately at a later date?
Yes. Wanted the sidecar to come in, of course, that was key. And of course, with the prototype based on the Indian, I wanted the sidecar to match period correct, so it didn't look out of place. So went on eBay, looked around, found a guy who has, and this is another interesting part of the story, found a guy that dabbles in selling sidecars and whatnot for motorcycles, and found a sidecar body that I liked and ordered that. I did not order the frame. I ordered just the sidecar body, thinking I can fabricate my own frame and whatnot. And the gentleman told me, he says, no problem. I'll contact you with the shipping information on that. Well, when he found out that I was building this for my wife and the package arrived, he actually included a frame and a fender and everything. And he says, since you're doing that for your wife, I wanted to donate that.
Wow.
It was a really nice thing. There's a lot of good people out there, a lot of good sellers on eBay as well. Really touching.
That is an amazing story, yeah. So the period correct, I know that it sort of almost looks like a canoe next to it, and I know that that was the period correct look that Indian Motorcycle Company was doing at that time, and so you have it the same way, but it looks like it was built meant for that bike.
Well, that just happened to turn out that way. When I first set out on this project, it was something that would take my wife for a ride and fulfill her request to ride again. But as things fell into place more and more with the fenders and the skirted and Jay's magnificent paintwork and then the sidecar, it just all came together like it was meant to be. This turned out a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Now, Deborah, is it difficult for you to get in and out of the sidecar?
No, I do need assistance, from Bill. But no, I can get in it pretty good. Thank God.
Yeah. And then I know that people can see you riding around the neighborhood occasionally, right?
Everyone's waving at us. We feel like we're Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck going down the highway. So, I mean, it brings smiles to people's face. And, for that moment, we made them happy.
Yeah. Do you do the Queen Elizabeth wave?
Absolutely. All the time.
Naturally, you have to do that. Yeah. No, it's got to be interesting because it is unique, the bike. And I think that anybody who would see it one time would always forever remember it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's very different than of anything else that you see around here. So I hope to be able to see you riding around every once in a while.
You will, Larry.
Yeah.
You will.
So what's the future going to bring at your shop? You got any other projects going on right now?
Oh,
I heard rumor you had one.
Yeah, there's a few things. I tend to have several projects going on at different times. My mind is always going on with different things. In that respect, I had always wanted to build my own sport bike motorcycle, and I wanted to use parts from different motorcycles that I felt were the best chosen parts for that particular bike, whether it be the single-sided swing arm from a Triumph Speed Triple into a very light and rigid aluminum frame from a Kawasaki powered by a four-cylinder Triumph engine with the best suspension, the best brakes, the best tires, and I've got that project underway, and my plan is to set a record of over 200 miles an hour with that motorcycle.
I would imagine you're not going to be doing that in the neighborhood streets.
No, that is something that takes place usually at a shutdown airport. I believe there's one in Ohio, an event that's held called the Standing Mile, and you have 1 mile from dead stop to terminal velocity, which is hoped to be over 200 miles an hour, and you slow down.
Oh, this is an actual setup where you can go and do this?
Yeah. Yes.
Is this open only at specific times of year? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's sort of an invitation. You go there, and that's the day that you go crazy running down the runway?
Correct. Hopefully you have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Yes.
Okay. Well, at least you're just going in a straight line, and you're not worried about traffic.
So. That's true.
So that's a little bit helpful because, I mean, I've been on bikes that have gone pretty fast, but I've not gone 200 miles an hour. I probably never will. You know, there's some things that I don't do, and that's one of them. You know, but I admire you for trying it and giving it your best shot. Yeah. So in your shop right now that you have in there, do you have a lot of bikes for sale in there? Are these all bikes that you rebuild and fix up and get back on the road again, or are they consignment?
Mostly the bikes I have for sale are consignment right now. I haven't gotten into building and marketing my custom bikes. That was just something I did kind of on a whim. So the bikes I have for sale are mostly consignment or bikes that I will buy from people and fix up and resell.
Yeah, I mean, the custom bikes, I just find that aspect completely fascinating, only because that, as you were just talking before about getting the sidearm from a Triumph and the frame from a Kawasaki, and I look at all these things and I say, well, how do you put different brands together? You know, I don't know how you get them to mesh, and you make it sound so simple that I just do a little bit of welding, a little bit of cutting, and just put a little spacer in there, and bingo, it works. Well, that's Greek to me, and as much as I like bikes, I could never do that.
Well, when you come to visit my shop, I will happy to show you this bike that I'm building, and I can point out some of the things that we're discussing now, and I think you'll pick up on what takes place. And again, maybe with 50 years experience on grinding, welding, and whatnot, it sort to me it comes naturally, but it's not that big of a deal.
Now, is this a solo operation that you have there, or do you have some workers that help you out?
No, it's a solo me, myself, and I thing that just kind of turned out that way, and try not to take more than I can handle, but it's gone very well, and I've had a lot of support from the community and the people in the community and my past customers for many years, and it's going like gangbusters.
I mean, it seems like you have a vast amount of knowledge about the bikes. It would be wonderful if you could pass some of that along to somebody younger. Do you ever try to get an intern or anything to work with you?
Possibly. There's been a few that have signed up. We'll see. I do have one son, James, who's in the Air Force right now, but he shares my passion, and he understands about modifying and speed and whatnot, and we'll see if one day he'll take it up or whether I find a protege. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, that would be nice, because it would be interesting to see. I like the thought of building the custom bikes. I know that Orange County Choppers, going back to them again, they did quite well with that business, and they are up there. I've been to their shop a couple times, and their showroom. It's an interesting place, and they have some pretty fascinating stuff there. They also have a pretty extensive amount of people working there, too. They have a large crew of people, because that one man alone couldn't possibly do. That definitely takes a group effort to put some of those bikes together. But it's always been quite interesting. And, I'd love to see you build a couple of more in there. So has anybody come to you and said, gee, I read your article about that Indian, or for want of a better term, and with the sidecar,
Can you build me one? Has that happened yet?
Not yet. I think this is all new. The article just came out January, February, and this is tail end of February. So we'll see what the future brings. We'll see if anyone is interested in having one built or purchased. So far, not yet, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, because I would think that your story, Debbie's story, is not unique. I mean, there are other people that are dealing with the same issues, and there are other people that could possibly benefit the same way. And I could almost imagine somebody looking at your story and the bike they built and saying, "Gee, I'd really like to replicate that. Yeah. Could I purchase one myself?"
Yeah.
And would you be able to build another one?
I'm sure I could. Yeah. As long as they're flexible with the timeline. I do have a host of customers that require regular services, so it'd have to be done in the interim. But if they're okay with the timeline, I have no objections.
All right. Show's coming slowly but surely to an end. Debbie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
If you see us riding down in the sidecar, wave. We'd love to see you.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure your bike is pretty unique. It stands out. It's a beautiful blue-white combination. It's easy to spot. If you've seen it once, you will definitely recognize it right away when you see it again. All right. Thank you so much for being my guest this morning. This was a fascinating talk. Lots of luck with Jay Leno.
Thank you, Larry.
I hope that works out. And the best to you, Debbie, too.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to hear that you get some relief from this and that you can enjoy it again, because I can imagine that, losing something that you're passionate about that you can't ride anymore, now to have it back again, it's got to be a great feeling to be able to do that again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guest this morning. I'd also like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, and Prince Limousine. This is 106.9 WCTR, and if it's Sunday morning, you've been listening to My Generation.